Well, I just want to share that I'm really blessed and humbled and honored and just full of joy to share this word. It's like the Lord kind of impressed on me. It's like a letter. It's a letter to the saints that are gathered here this morning in the name of Jesus.
Nice.
Right? And I just pray that this word would get written on your heart, right? On all of our hearts. And I want to start with this. And just ask yourself, when was the last time you saw the sunrise, right? And went, glory, majesty, right? As you know, I just spent time up in Kenora, and these were my mornings. This picture I took, sitting on the dock, watching the sun, and you just can't help out of your mouth to say majesty.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know? And I was thinking about that, you know? When you send your son, I'm not sure if I'm going to get through this without falling on my face.
Yeah.
When you send your son to a different country for 2 weeks, right? And he's able to stand up and testify what God did and how God moved and how he worked, eh? You trust your son with the Lord.
That's right.
And he comes back changed. Mm-hmm. Right?
And 4 inches taller.
And taller. And I think, you know, you say glory to God.
Yeah.
Right?
It's all him.
When you hear testimony of after years and years of prayer and praying for people, for your daughter, and she phones up and says, Mom, right?
Yeah.
Glory, right?
Yep.
You know, when you hear testimony of, you know, the Lord Jesus bringing healing to your entire body.
Yeah.
Glory, right? When your body is, you know, temporarily, right, affected by an affliction, right? And the Lord gives you the grace and he fills you with joy and peace. So you become an example and a witness to everyone around you.
Amen.
And glory. You and everyone around you says, glory to God.
Amen. Right?
Amen. No. When you see the eyes open, or somebody get a revelation of Jesus when you share the gospel, you say, glory. Glory to God. Right? When you're asking God fervently and praying for an answer to prayer, and you get your answer.
Yeah.
Right? You say glory. You know, when you go through really hard times and God brings you through, and you say glory. Right? When you hold your granddaughter in your arms because you know that she's a miracle and you know that she's a gift from God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And that he's the one who did it.
Yeah.
You say glory. Yeah. And I could go on. Oh, morning, we all could.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Glory to God. And I want to say, that is why we are saved. We're saved to see his glory. We're saved to give him glory.
Yeah.
We're saved to reveal his glory.
Yes.
Right? And we're saved that when Jesus comes again, we will see him in the fullness of his glory, and we will be glorified in him.
Amen.
And we will marvel at his glory.
Yeah.
Right? But not just when he returns.
Yeah.
It could start now and today, and it does, as we've heard all the testimonies. Right? So I just point, you know, I'm not going to read every scripture because there's a gazillion of them as usual. But what stood out for me months ago, I was reading Ephesians 1, and in verses 6, 12, and 14, okay, within 14 verses, okay, it's repeated to the praise of his glory. We are saved to the praise of his glory, right? And so, you know, the ultimate, God's ultimate purpose for us as believers in being saved, our faith and our hope in Christ, is to bring glory to God. Mm-hmm. Everything that God has done is intended to reveal His glory.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, even when you read in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 43, which is amazing, he starts off, I created you. I redeemed you. I called you by name. You're mine. When you go through all the fires and the waters and the floods, don't fear, because I will be with you.
Yeah.
That he says you're loved and you're precious. Okay? And then in verse 43:7, you are created for my glory.
Amen.
Says the Lord. Right? So his purposes in salvation are meant to result in the praise and the worship of his nature. And he wants us to live out our faith in a way that reflects Jesus' character. Mm-hmm. Okay, and brings glory to him and him alone.
Yes.
Right? Amen. As we heard from yes. Jocelyn's testimony.
Yes.
So if you want to turn, you could turn to John 17. The most amazing prayer, because Jesus prayed it. Okay, I'm going to start and read John 17, 1-5. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus's desire, his mission on this earth was to glorify his Father,
yeah.
right? To reveal his Father's character and his will to humanity. And through his ministry, right, he consistently pointed to God.
Yeah.
Everything he did, his teachings, his miracles, he pointed them all to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And in his obedience, his teachings, his miracles, and ultimately his obedience to go to the cross and be crucified and ultimately resurrected, okay, God's plan for salvation, all to reflect God's glory. And then it gets, thank you, and then it gets even better. John 17, 9 and 10. I ask on their behalf, our behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, okay, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Okay, and all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. So Jesus is praying for his followers, us, to bring him glory. This is astounding. Jesus prayed this. Okay? And he wants us to have that same desire. He wants us to have that same passion. Okay? That our passion in life is to glorify the Lord Jesus. And as we glorify him, we glorify the Father.
That's right.
Right? Wake up in the morning and say, like, Lord, give me opportunities. I want to bring glory to you in everything. Right? So Jesus is glorified in us, his followers. And as we live out his teachings in the word and reflect his character, okay, this is how we reach the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, so then John 17, 22 to 24. Okay. Jesus prays there. I won't read it, but what he's saying, okay, is that he has given us the glory which he received from the Father. He has given us the glory, okay, that he has received from the Father, that we may be one. Okay? Now what is he doing? He's praying for unity.
Mm-hmm.
He's praying for unity in Christ. And as we, followers of Jesus, the Church of Jesus Christ, are unified in Christ, like-minded in Christ, working together, okay, displaying all the one another's and working together in the kingdom, it brings glory to God. Like, okay, that's another sermon, I think. Okay. So what is the glory of God? So I just was reflecting on this and studying it. In the Old Testament Hebrew, the word is kabod. In the New Testament Greek, it's doxa. Okay, and so this is just from my heart. Okay. The glory of God is the manifest beauty of his holiness. The glory of God is the manifest beauty of his holiness. Okay? It's his splendor, his radiance, his majesty, right? His infinite perfection.
Mm.
That who he is, his character, his ways, everything he does is absolute perfection. Right? His greatness, his magnificence, his worth, his value. None of these things can be improved on. Mm-hmm. They can't be imitated.
Mm.
They're incomparable, as we sang about.
Mm.
And it says in Hebrews 1:3, I'll just read it. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being.
Mm.
All of God's glory is centered in Jesus. Right? Because he's the exact representation of the Father. And one of the things that came to my mind when you read the whole, like in Exodus 33, you read the whole conversation between God and Moses, right? And in that, God says to Moses that a couple of times, you have found favor in my sight.
Mm.
Okay? And God assures Moses that his presence is with him. And Moses has seen God's power.
Oh, yeah.
He's seen his miracles. And yet, in Exodus 33:18, Moses says, I pray you, show me your glory. Whoa. What is he saying? He wants God. He wants him. He wants his person. Okay, that's what he's praying. And then, of course, as you go on and you read it, in verse 22, God says, my glory is passing by. And then in the next chapter, in 34, 6, and 7, the Lord passed by and proclaimed. The Lord is proclaiming who he is to Moses, who's in the cleft of the rock, of course, because he can't see God, only his back, right? The Lord passed by and proclaimed who he is. Compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth and faithfulness, a God who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet by no means leaves the guilty unpunished, and it goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then, of course, you know, as we were singing about it, we see, you know, pictures in Psalm 19, verse 1. It says, the heavens tell of the glory of God.
That's right.
Right? Their expanse declares the work of his hands.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, I mean, the next time you go out at night and you look up and you see all the stars, who, of course, he knows them by name, each one. Glory.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You say glory, majesty. in Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, mm-hmm. that is his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived, being understood by what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Mm-hmm. That the first slide when you came in that had the psalm on it, okay, the picture of the mountain right here. Okay, that's just part of the picture. As Mike and Ruth are driving out of Calgary, this is what they see. Majesty, right? Displaying the glory and the power and the majesty of God. All creation is meant to glorify God, right? And through his creation, God shows that he is glorious, right? And to him belongs the glory, right? And so this should be our prayer, right? This should be our longing and our passion and our fervent prayer. May glory be given to you, Lord, right? Yes. That we would acknowledge and we would treasure his glory, and that the glory of Christ would be known and valued in all the world above mm-hmm. all things.
Yeah.
Right? And so I want to answer a couple questions. How do we give glory to God? What does it look like practically? How do we give glory to God? And how do we reflect God's glory? Right? Well, first, the first thing that came to my mind is with our words. Mm-hmm. Right? We give glory to God by praising him, by thanking him out loud. Okay? For who he is and for the amazing things that he has done, is doing, and will do. Right? So we can look at a couple scriptures. Luke 5, 25 and 26. So this is the story of the paralytic who's healed when his friends lower him down from the roof, because that's the only way that they can get him to Jesus, right? And Jesus says, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up and pick up your stretcher and go home. Immediately, he got up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. And they, the crowd, were all struck with astonishment and began glorifying God. And it goes on. And you know, I thought, so, you know, this is a reminder. When the Lord Jesus works in our life or someone else's life, okay, we need to give glory to God. Do we give glory to God out loud? Do we get excited? Okay, and give glory to God and tell others about what he's done in our lives. Mm-hmm. Remembering to do that, like as we've heard this morning. Then there's the next one is the story of the woman who had a spirit of infirmity in Luke 13:13. There's many of these testimonies, and in your own life too. And you know, so she has a sickness that's caused by spirit, and Jesus sees her, and he calls her over, and he says, woman, you are freed from your sickness. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. Okay? So when the Lord moves and works in our life, causes us out of our mouth to bring glory to God. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's all, I won't read the scripture, but just in Luke 17, there's the 10 lepers, right? And Jesus, you know, he says, like, go to the priests, and as they're going, all 10 of them get healed, but only one of them comes back and gives glory to Jesus and worships him. Okay, we want to be that one, right? We want to be that one. And then, you know, there's practical examples. from Scripture of how we are to speak. How we speak out of our mouth, okay, either brings glory to God or doesn't bring glory to God, right? And there's many examples of that in the Word. And just because of time, I have so many scriptures. But I'm going to have you go to Philippians 2. Okay, Philippians 2. This is for you. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as light in the world. Mm. And praise the Lord when Holy Spirit convicts us about how we speak, because that's what he did, okay? He convicts us about how we speak, and you know, and this is who you are, blameless, okay, and innocent, okay? Like, I remember years ago, the Lord just spoke really loudly, and he was like, speaking over the body of Christ. He was speaking over the true church, and it was really loud, and it was like this. You shine like stars. You shine like a star. You shine like stars, right? Mm-hmm. So when we grumble and complain, we're not so much shining like stars, right? Mm-hmm. And there's many examples in the Word about speaking words of blessing and life and encouragement and edification, okay? And how else do we give glory to God? How do we reflect God's glory, okay? And the other is through our actions, okay? The ultimate purpose of every action is to glorify God, okay? There's a call to reflect his character in everything that we do, right? And if you want to go to Matthew 5:16. Matthew 5:16. And before that, in verse 14, it's like Jesus is making a declaration, right? He declares a lot of things over his church. Mm-hmm. He declares a lot of things over his followers. And in this particular, he says, you are the light of the world. Mm-hmm. He makes that declaration. Okay, now he's for sure through the power of his Holy Spirit, because he's given us Holy Spirit, right? Because this isn't anything to do with us, and this isn't in our own strength. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. We will be able to be the light of the world, right? And so in verse 16, Jesus says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Okay? So when others see Jesus, not us, they see Jesus shining in our actions, right? They give glory to the Father. Mm-hmm. They give glory to God, mm-hmm. not to us.
That's right.
And we don't want any glory because we can't do anything mm-hmm. without the Lord. Okay? And it says in the Word that they give glory to the Father with their words. Okay? And if you go to Acts 21:19, these are just a few examples of many. So here, Paul's at Jerusalem, okay, and He's speaking to the brethren, okay? He's speaking to the elders, okay? And he greets them, and then he begins to relate in verse 19. He begins to relate to them one by one the things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they began glorifying God. Mm-hmm. So when people hear what God is doing amongst us, right, in us and through us and amongst us, they give glory to God. And you know, Paul talks about this quite a bit. You know, and one thing I thought about was when others see our transformed life, they see that we're a new person, they see us completely changed, they give glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We all did that when we hear testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Right, when we see each other,
yeah.
Right, and we see, you know, how the Lord is transforming us and changing us, right? We give glory to God, right? It says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God.
Mm.
Okay, and of course these things, giving glory to God with our words. Okay, and revealing the glory of God through our actions cannot happen without a transformed heart.
That's right.
Right? So our words and our actions are a direct reflection of the condition of our heart. Right? And we can only truly give glory to God if we have a transformed heart. Okay? Which is only possible through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Only. Okay? So, you know, giving glory to God involves the whole person. Out of the heart comes the words and the desire to reveal God's glory through our actions. Right? There's many scriptures, but, you know, there's a scripture in Matthew 9:8, which I won't go to, but basically it says that a holy fear of the Lord in the heart expressed in words gives glory to God.
Hmm.
Okay. And then let's just go to Matthew 15:31. Actually, in verse 30, it says, and large crowds came to him, to Jesus, bringing with them those who were lame, crippled, blind, mute, and many others, and they laid them down at his feet, and he healed them. So the crowd marveled as they saw the mute speaking, the crippled restored, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Isn't that awesome? And there's many scriptures like that. So when people marvel, right? He uses the words in the scriptures, marvel, wonder, amazement, astonishment.
Mm-hmm.
We never want to lose our awe and wonder and amazement and astonishment of God and who he is and how he's working and what he's doing. We never want to lose that.
Mm-hmm.
And when people marvel at the power and the goodness of God, he receives glory.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Psalm 86:12 says, I will give thanks to you, Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have gratitude in our heart, okay, and it comes out of our mouth, right, it gives glory to God. Now, just a couple of other things I want to point out. In John 14:15, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So through our love for Jesus, and we love him only because he first loved us,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay. And our obedience, and we can only be obedient because it's given to us and through the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? We glorify God, Right? He wants us to live a life that reflects his holiness and his righteousness. Like these, the constitution of the kingdom is here. Okay, these commands of God is not they're not a to-do list. They're not a list of rules. Okay? They come out of our absolute love and gratitude and gratefulness to the Lord Jesus. Okay? Because we want to give him glory. Right? And some of you get this. I get this magazine called One Voice, and it's from the Voice of the Martyrs Canada. Okay? Every month, and it's awesome. Because it just has so many testimonies from the persecuted church. Right? And this is the one for September, and it's all about persevering followers of Christ in Pakistan. And there's many testimonies. But one of the stories in here talks about the witness of the early church. And it talks about how Jesus makes a promise and makes a declaration over the church in Acts 1:8. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And as we know, that was fulfilled when the Holy Spirit came and gave power, right, to be the witness for Christ. And this is how this is an exhortation from the persecuted church to the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide, to us, right? It says, as followers of Christ, each of our lives should be a witness, expressing to others who Jesus is and the many great things he has done for us. Glory, right? And there's a little part that says, pause and reflect. It says, the task Jesus gave his disciples in Acts 1:8 has not changed over the years. Right? He is calling each one of his followers to serve as his witnesses to the end of the earth. Reflect on the testimony of the early church and then ask yourself, today, am I excited about what Jesus is doing in my life? Right? If so, is my excitement visible to others?
That's good.
Am I living in such a way that my life is bearing witness to the gospel, even when I'm not speaking?
Yeah.
Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. Now, back at the beginning when I was sharing Jesus' prayer in John 17, and he prays for the church to be unified in him, and that this gives glory to God. And, you know, the purpose of the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, the true church of Jesus Christ, okay, is to display the glory of God to the world. And he sent us out, he commissioned us in Matthew 28 and Mark 16, right? Romans 15, 5 and 6. We have to read some of these scriptures. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So not just as individuals, but corporately as the Church of Jesus Christ, we in our unity in Christ give glory to God. Right? I think that's just an awesome truth. So now hopefully you think and believe that all that is good news. Is that good news? Is it good news?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now there's great news. Okay? Because in John 17 also Jesus prays for our future glory.
Yeah.
You can't talk about the glory of God without talking about our future glory, right? Because this is where, when things are really, really hard, which when we persevere through those hard things, it gives glory to God, okay? But our faith in Christ and our hope in him is where we have the joy,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
in knowing that he's coming back,
mm-hmm.
right? And that joy in knowing that he's returning and everything that's going to happen when that happens, okay, that joy overrides everything
mm-hmm.
that we go through now, right? In 2 Thessalonians 1:10, and I'm reading from the NASB, the New American Standard Version. 2 Thessalonians 1:10, when he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day, when Jesus comes to be glorified in his saints on that day, his second coming, and to be marveled at among all who have believed, for mm-hmm. our testimony to you was believed. So at Jesus' second coming, he is going to be glorified in us, and he is going to be marveled at
mm-hmm.
among all who have believed.
Where was
that? 2 Thessalonians 1:10. It's always best to read the scriptures in the context, but for the sake of time, I'm just reading that one. Colossians 3:4 says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So for all eternity, God's plan has been that the glory of his grace be praised. Okay, we're back to the in Ephesians 1. Through the words and the actions from the heart of us, a redeemed people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He planned, okay, that we would just be the praise of his glory. Right? And in Romans 8:29, Paul says, we will be conformed to the image of the Son.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And he says in Philippians 3:21, we will be transformed to have a body like Christ's glorious body. Okay, this is future now, right? And this conformity to Christ makes it possible for us as followers of Jesus to reflect and praise the glory of Christ as we ought to, right? Right now, our bodies are not glorified. They're not fully glorified now, but they will be, okay? We will have, when Christ returns, we who are followers of Jesus, we're going to have a glorious body that is immortal, because Christ is immortal,
mm-hmm.
right? It says in Matthew 13:43, then the righteous will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. One who has ears, let him hear. So at the appearing of Christ, we will shine like the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is good news. Right?
Yes.
This is great news. Right? Now, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Actually, Lynn, you have the New Living Translation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you read that, please, from the New Living Translation, 2 Corinthians 3:18.
So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image.
Mm. Yeah. So this transformation, the sanctification, it begins in this life, right? It begins when we're born again. And it's complete not until the coming of the day of the Lord Jesus, right? When we will be perfectly perfected,
yeah.
right? Our bodies and our souls will be perfectly perfected. But right now, we're being sanctified, right? We're being perfected. We're being made like Christ. And in the scriptures, it talks about John and Paul, okay, they both talk about this, and they say they talk about this truth, okay, that we're being made into the likeness of Christ, and we will be like him, okay, when he returns, right? And so then they give an exhortation, okay? Since this is true, therefore, why don't you start now?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you start now to allow the Holy Spirit to renew your mind and change you, okay? Be available for Him to work in you, right? Why not start now? Get rid of all impurity, right? And filthiness and all sin, and get rid of it. Get rid of it now, right? Allow Him to work now, right? Since you are destined to be perfected in purity at the coming of Christ, seek to be done with all impurity now. And that's what the word says. Okay. It says in Romans 8:19, for the eagerly awaiting creation waits for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. In other words, when Christ comes, us as believers are going to be shown who we really are in Christ. And the whole creation, it says in Romans 8:19, is waiting for this. Waiting for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. That's really exciting. Right? Okay. I want to finish with 1 Corinthians 15. 51-58. I know it's a bit long, but I want to read it. Actually, I'm going to start at verse 50. Okay. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Right? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on the immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Okay. Mm-hmm. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So really, just to sum up, Christ does everything that He does for the glory of God. And I, all of us are saved for the glory of God. To see His glory, to give Him glory, to reflect His glory so that others will know and follow Jesus, and to fully behold, to see the glory of His Son Jesus when He returns. Now, I just wrote here, we are never the final reason for anything.
God is.
We are never the final reason for anything. God is. So let's, from our hearts, out of our mouths, with our actions, okay, every day, all day, declare Romans 11:36. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever and ever.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.